headlines this hour. Brazil's president says Iran is willing to talk over its nuclear program, urging others to follow suit. American lawmakers back aid for an Israeli missile system as the U.S. envoy travels to the Middle East to broker peace. And U.S. stocks tumble over worries that the European debt crisis could jeopardize economic recovery.
It is 7 p.m. in Brasilia, Brazil, and 6 p.m. in Washington, D.C. This is Press TV's World News.
Many thanks for joining us this hour. Well, the Brazilian president says Iran has shown its willingness for talks over its nuclear energy program. Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva is now calling on other countries to follow suit. Brazil and Turkey brokered a nuclear fuel swap declaration with Iran on Monday. Under the declaration, Iran agreed to ship some of its low-enriched uranium abroad. This in exchange for the fuel it needs for its Tehran research reactor. Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan is heading to Brazil next week for further talks with Brazilian officials. The two UN Security Council members are lobbying for support against Washington's campaign for more sanctions on Iran. Well, a top Iranian lawmaker says Tehran will reverse Monday's nuclear declaration if new sanctions against Iran are approved. Mohammad Reza Bahonar echoed Iran's foreign ministry spokesman's warning.
Well, this as the United States' push for a new round of sanctions on Iran continues to prompt reactions from the West and the Arab world.
The Arab League's chief has hailed the nuclear declaration made by Iran, Brazil and Turkey on Monday as a starting point for peace and stability in the region. Amr Moussa also called for a Middle East without nuclear weapons, adding that Israel must stop its atomic arms program.
We know that the state of Israel has nuclear weapons. We know that it's the only nuclear armed state in the Middle East. If the Americans were genuinely concerned with nuclear proliferation, they would be dealing with the weapons that we know to be there in Israel. They're not interested in this.
And the Kuwaiti parliament speaker slammed what he called tension-inciting behavior towards Iran's nuclear program. He also called for further talks as a way to ensure peace in the region. Meanwhile, the Emirati foreign minister expressed hope that Iran's nuclear fuel swap declaration will pave the way for the transfer of Iran's nuclear case to the IAEA from the UN Security Council. Brazil and Turkey, who brokered the agreement, have urged their fellow Security Council members to avoid any measures that are detrimental to peace and stick to diplomacy. Several European countries have also described the Tehran declaration as a step forward in resolving the standoff between Iran and the West. But the United States does not seem to think so.
The fact of the matter is that the IAEA proposal has been accepted with some minor modifications, and the Western world, instead of embracing that and welcoming that, they're not trying to torpedo that. And with this talk of sanctions and coercive diplomacy.
But what is this coercive diplomacy aimed at?
The unintended consequence of U.S. failure in Iraq was to create Iran as a stronger regional power than it had been before the Iraq war. The Americans are deeply uncomfortable with that. It doesn't fit part of their global strategic plan. And the argument about nuclear weapons is a way of trying to shut down Iranian influence in the region.
Well, the United States has welcomed Iran's move to allow three arrested American nationals to meet with their mothers. USA Department spokesman Philip Crowley has described the meeting as a positive development. The meeting took place at Tehran's Istiqlal Hotel. Iran says it issued visas for the mothers on humanitarian grounds and according to the Islamic Code of Conduct. The three Americans were arrested on Iranian soil after crossing the border from northern Iraq in July 2009.
Well, the U.S. House of Representatives has backed President Barack Obama's plans to help Israel deploy an anti-missile system. The lawmakers have overwhelmingly endorsed a bill that gives Obama a free hand to fund Israel's missile program. Washington will award Tel Aviv $205 million for producing a short-range missile system called the Iron Dome. The House Foreign Affairs Committee chairman calls Thursday's vote an important step. Howard Berman says Washington must make sure its most important ally can defend itself. Israel completed tests on its Iron Dome missile system in January. It is planning to integrate the system into the army. Well, the U.S. Middle East envoy has met with the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Well, the meeting came a day after George Mitchell held talks with Palestinian officials in the occupied West Bank city of Ramallah. It was the second round of indirect or proximity talks on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Mitchell's visit to Jerusalem al-Quds comes a day after Palestinian leaders complained about what they called Israeli provocations. Our correspondent in al-Quds, Shireen Yassin, has been following up on the story. She earlier joined us for an update on the latest developments.
Palestinians are really skeptical, and they question the Israeli intentions regarding the so-called indirect negotiations. Israel, as they are not new, and they have been offered to the Palestinians in the past, but now Netanyahu has promised the Americans that he will do, and his, of course, coalition will do its utmost in order to push forward the peace talks. And also, the Israeli leaders have promised to listen to the Palestinians regarding the core issues. The Palestinians said that in 4 months, something tangible is going to happen. But a lot of the analysts and a lot of people, especially in the Palestinian territories, are doubtful that anything will happen in 4 months, especially that Israel is still ongoing with its settlement activities. This is why, in the first place, the indirect negotiations failed the first time. 1 day after they were announced, Israel is acting in contempt, according to Palestinians, and they are not ready to give up East Jerusalem, Al-Quds, and the settlement activities. So there will be a lot of obstacles. And for the Palestinians, other obstacles, such as the refugees question and the borders. Every single step is very crucial and difficult, according to analysts.
Well, a campaign to boycott products made by Israeli settlers is gaining momentum in the occupied West Bank in East Jerusalem, Al-Quds.
The move is a reaction to Israel's continuing settlement activities on Palestinian land.
Today we're present here in front of the governor's building for Ramallah to announce the launch of the campaign to resist the settlement products. These products attack us just like the settlers attack us. When they take our land, as they have taken our land before and killed our children.
The Palestinian Authority has deployed nearly 3,000 volunteers for the campaign. They go house to house with information about which goods to avoid. So far, the campaign has led to the confiscation of products worth $20 million. The move has angered Israeli officials, who call it an act of, quote, incitement.
A senior Palestinian lawmaker has finally returned home to East Jerusalem, Al-Quds, after spending 4 years in an Israeli jail. Israel arrested Mohammed Abu Tayr, along with more than 60 other members of the Hamas movement, back in 2006. They were charged with being involved in the capture of Israeli soldier Gilad Shalit. Now, Abu Tayr says his release has nothing to do with any prisoner swap between Israel and Hamas.
This was not a goodwill gesture. I finished my sentence, which violated my right to win at the Legislative Council elections. I finished my sentence, though they had added 1 month to my sentence, which was originally 47 months, because I did not stand up for the judge.
Elsewhere, U.S. stocks are down amid growing fears that the Eurozone's handling of its debt crisis could jeopardize the global economic recovery. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was down over 220 points at market close on Thursday. The Standard & Poor fell nearly 27 points. It is now down more than 10% from its April high. The index is also below its 200-day moving average. The Nasdaq Composite lost over 60 points Thursday.
Well, the U.S. Senate has voted to end its debate on reforms of a controversial financial bill after more than a month of debate. The legislation includes tough new measures on the U.S. financial sector, not seen since the Great Depression of the 1930s. The bill includes measures such as stopping big firms' use of high-risk practices that were once blamed for the global economic crisis of the 2008. It also aims to end taxpayer-funded bailout of large corporations. President Barack Obama calls it a breakthrough.
Our goal is not to punish the banks. but to protect the larger economy and the American people from the kind of upheavals that we've seen in the past few years. And today's action was a major step forward in achieving that goal. Because of Wall Street reform, we'll soon have in place the strongest consumer protections in history. If you've ever applied for a credit card, a student loan, or a mortgage, you know the feeling of signing your name to pages of barely understandable fine print. It's a big step for most families, but one that's often filled with unnecessary confusion and apprehension.
Well, the final vote on the bill will come later on Thursday or Friday evening. Well, Europe, hit hard by the global financial crisis, has been discussing new, tougher financial regulations.
The German finance minister has invited colleagues, experts and bankers to an international conference in Berlin, this ahead of the G20 summit in Canada next month.
At a conference on financial regulation held in Berlin on Thursday, Chancellor Angela Merkel called for tougher regulation of banks and financial markets and an international tax on financial institutions. Though agreement would be difficult to find, Merkel added that a tax would not ruin markets but help to better engage the banks in the costs of the crisis.
There are several suggestions, a financial transaction tax or a financial activity tax as the IMF proposes. And we have now decided that at the G20 summit in Canada, we will campaign for taxing the financial markets in addition to a levy.
Ms. Merkel's comments come a day after she warned the euro was in danger without strong action. Finance Minister Wolfgang Schäuble stressed that financial markets were no longer performing their function of serving the public good. Ministers and central bank officials from around the world came together to discuss effective financial market regulations. Leading economists used the opportunity to call for stricter rules.
All European and American banks, more or less, are undercapitalized because of lax regulation. The minimum equity requirement is not enough. And if you can do your business with tiny amounts of equity capital, then you begin to gamble.
The conference was held just ahead of the German lawmakers' vote on the euro bailout, which could cost Germany up to 148 billion euros. As some economists warned of an incalculable adventure, others welcomed the step to protect the eurozone governments from defaulting on their debt.
It's a very serious situation, and I'm very glad that the EU now has a very comprehensive approach to that. And in my view, these are necessary measures, and I also regard these measures to be forceful.
The European Union is about to introduce a massive 750 billion euro package for countries threatened with insolvency.
If you have these huge movements and these nervousness in the market, you have to take quick action and big action, otherwise you will fail.
Canada, the host of next month's G20 meeting, has already signaled its opposition to a tax on financial markets. But even if there won't be an international agreement, Merkel has agitated for a European solution. There seems to be broad agreement that politics should set the rules for the financial markets, but the public is growing impatient as governments quarrel over what regulations to implement. And Chancellor Merkel admitted that as the financial sector was extremely complex and difficult to understand, the place for an honest advisor to politics was still vacant. Stefan Herrmann for Press TV in Berlin.
Elsewhere, British Airways cabin crew are planning to go on strike next week in a dispute over pay and staffing level.
Well, union leaders have urged the management to address their demands over the next 3 days to avoid aviation chaos. Some 12,000 cabin crew will join a five-day strike on Monday. The Unite Union warns of two more strikes on May the 30th and June the 5th, unless there is a breakthrough. The statements come hours after the UK Court of Appeal overturned a ruling blocking the walkout. BA had won a ruling blocking the first five-day strike, slated for last Tuesday. British Airways says a walkout would ground some 30% of flights.
It is a 3:15 a.m. here in the capital, Tehran. You're watching another edition of Press TV's World News. Here's a reminder of our top stories this hour. Brazil's president says Iran is willing to talk over its nuclear program, urging others to follow suit. Also, American lawmakers back aid for an Israeli missile system as the U.S. envoy travels to the Middle East to broker peace. U.S. stocks tumble over worries that the European debt crisis could jeopardize economic recovery.